Hong Kong restaurant on Friday, December 14th. Now, we'll start the interview at this time. Could you please tell me your age?
Well, I'm 65.
And where were you born?
I was born in Canton, China.
And you came over here?
I came over the first time when I was about 12 years old. And then we landed in San Francisco, and the family stayed there for about 4.5 years. And after that, my mother thought that we had become too Americanized, so she decided to take us all back to Hong Kong to study more Chinese. I stayed there for about 2 years, while the rest of the family stayed longer. So after that 2 years or so, I came back to this country to join my father, and subsequently finished high school and went on to college.
Now, your father was in what occupation, what kind of business?
Well, my father came over, I think in 1920 or 21, he was already a highly educated man in Hong Kong. He graduated from Queen's College in Hong Kong and had 3 years of medical study in Peking Medical College. But then he always thought that America was such a fine place to further his studies. So he had always wanted to come over to America to study more. So finally he had the opportunity to come over as a secretary to a Chinese steamship company. So after he came here, after he was here for about a year or so, he liked this country very, very much. And he probably could see a lot of opportunities for his family, so he sent for us. Then he stayed with the steamship company until I think it went closed. Then he went into banking. I think the name of the bank was Anglo California Trust Company.
And how high did he reach in what position?
Oh, he was, when he left the bank in 1931, he was the head of the Chinese department and also, I believe, is assistant vice president of that company.
Now, about your mother, does she also have a high degree education as your father in China?
Well, at that time, you know, Chinese women never went to school. They didn't have any formal education. However, my mother went to school for 2 or 3 years, I was told. And she was a very intelligent person. And then Chinese at that time were very, they felt very funny about a girl having a higher education. So she was withdrew from school. So she did not have but a few years of education.
Now, in your families, how many brothers and sisters did you have?
Well, there's two brothers and 4 sisters, 4 girls and 2 sons.
And where are you?
I'm the oldest daughter.
Oldest daughter. Are your brothers older than you?
One brother was older than I, but he passed away when he was 2 years old when we were in China.
Were all the children born in China?
Everyone was, except this last one.
Last daughter,
who was given away because the old-fashioned thinking was that just too many daughters in the family.
I see. Now, so far as the being over here, and you indicated you went through high school, did you start college? Can you identify the college for us?
Oh, yes. About the time that I graduated from high school, my father had a better position with the Bank of China in Hong Kong. He was the assistant manager there. So my father says, well, since there are so many of you in this country, and if you want to remain here to go to college, you just have to work your way through or come back home with me, then I will put you in some Chinese institutions. Because at that time, even now, Hong Kong is spending in the silver standard, and America is in the gold standard. And it takes about 6 silver dollars to make 1 gold. So whatever money he made then, when you convert it into gold, there's hardly anything to put us through. See?
So you worked for
Yes, I worked part of my, I worked all of my college years.
Okay, and then what kind of work did you do?
All right, then at that time, I didn't want to stay in San Francisco.
So far as going through school, you put yourself through school.
Yes.
And what kind of work did you do?
Well, then I didn't want to stay in San Francisco when my family had just left. You know, I felt very lonely. So it so happened that we had a very good family friend who lived in Reno, Nevada. So somehow my father arranged with this friend to let me stay with them in Reno and then attend the university there. So the minute I got there, I think this good friend put in an ad in the paper saying that, oh, a Chinese girl wanted to do housework and go to school. And then the first couple who came to see me, I just accepted the job because they were just a couple, you know, no children or nothing.
Okay, now, in so far as school, what studies did you take up? What was your major?
I major in home economics.
And you graduated?
I graduated there.
In what year?
I believe it was 1936.
I see.
I stayed with that family for about a couple of years. Then the man who was connected with the Southern Pacific Railroad, he was transferred to Arizona, and he wanted me to follow them because they liked me very much.
This is the family you're working for?
Yes.
I see.
I didn't want to because at that time I thought Arizona was so far away from San Francisco where my brother and sister were. So I went and stayed with this Chinese family who brought me to Reno.
I see.
Then I stayed with them for a while. And then what else now? Oh, yes.
Then?
You
began working?
No, then I just stayed with them, see?
I see.
They didn't charge me any money. I didn't have to pay them anything. So finally, I stay out for 1 year and work for an herb doctor to interpret for him.
I see. A Chinese herb doctor?
Chinese herb doctor.
In Reno?
Yes.
How old was he roughly?
He, the man? Oh, 40-some. Because his father went back to China, so he came over to take his place. See? So I worked there for 1 year. And at that time, I thought the treatment was very good. He gave me so much a month, I think $70 a month, including board and room. And every month, should we do over a certain amount of business, we will have that extra money to be divided among the herbalist, the man who, what you call that, the Chinese pharmacist, and I, the three of us, divide the dividend. So sometimes I make as much as $100, and I don't have any expenses. So I stay there for 1 whole year, save up quite a little bit of money, and went back to the university, and stay at the dormitory
to finish up. So you were doing, you were working for this herbalist
for one whole year,
and while you got your degree.
Yes.
Now after you got your degree, did you go and start work, or did you continue your studies? What happened after you got your degree?
No. Then shall I tell you something else that happened during my years at the university?
Well, we can come back to that. What I want to do right now is try to sort of get a general picture.
Say
after you, like, you finish your college, you got your degree. Mm-hmm. Now, did you go to work right away, or where did you meet your husband? In other words, how bring it up to where a little bit about up to the point where you married and had your children, and we can backtrack and cover some other things.
All right. Now, at the university, I met a young man by the name of Frank Sam, who later became my husband.
I see.
And he was a year and a half or two ahead of me, and he was studying to become a mining engineer.
Mm-hmm.
So after he graduated, he went on to Arizona to work as a chemical assayer in a small mine. And after I graduated, I went back home to my father. You see, he was assistant manager there. Then within a couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, I found a job in Canton to teach in a high school.
Back in China?
Yes, okay. In Canton, China,
all right.
To teach. And I think I taught for about 2 years. We got married. Then And we stayed there for a while.
Excuse me, your husband went back to China with you?
Not with me. He came back there before I did.
Oh, so your husband went to China?
Yeah.
And you joined him there?
I think he went back there before I did. After he had a couple of years of experiences here with the mine,
right.
And he went back, and he was working for the Chinese government, mainly to lead a group of people to go around to examine all the tungsten mines. Because in Canton, in Guangdong province, Guangxi, and Wannan, those are the three very rich tungsten mines. And then the Chinese government was getting ready to open those mines when the Japanese came, started bombing China.
And then you were, after your husband was there, and you joined him, and you were working in Canton?
No, after I got married, I didn't work anymore.
I see. All right. And then, when did you come back, both of you come back to the United States?
At the end of 1940.
I see.
Then, before that, for over a year, because Japan was bombing different parts of China, and my husband, as well with a whole lot of people, were without work. So we went down to Hong Kong to stay for one whole year, but we couldn't find anything to do. We had spent all the money that we had accumulated, so since he's an American citizen, we decided the best place for us would be to come back here. So, then we both came back.
How many children do you have?
Now we have three children.
Okay, now where were they born?
The oldest one was born in China.
And that was a boy?
A boy. The other two are also boys, and they are both born in Los Angeles.
Okay, now let's backtrack a bit to your early days now. The time when you were living with your father and your family, was this in Chinatown or was it?
Oh, in census? Well, we were not exactly in Chinatown, but a few blocks away from Chinatown.
But you would say that your neighbors were primarily Orientals, or were they?
Oh, yes, they were Orientals.
At that particular time, when you went to school, was there a large number of Chinese there, or were there a lot of Caucasian students?
All right. At the elementary school, which was called the Commodore Stockton School, they were all Chinese from Chinatown. At that time, we were not allowed to venture out of Chinatown. I think the next school that was very close to Chinatown was called Jean Parker. And you just cannot go there. Not even with a permit, see? So they were all Chinese in this Commodore Stockton School.
Okay, now, so far as in Reno, when you were there going to school, did you have, certainly at that time, there were not too many Chinese going to Reno,
no.
Correct?
Mostly
it was mostly a white environment.
Oh yes, oh
did
yes.
You, how did you feel towards, or what were the feelings of people towards you? Did you sense any difference in treatment because you're Chinese? Or?
Well, I was the only Oriental girl there on the campus. At that time, it was a small campus, you know. But I was the only one there, and altogether there are two other fellows, Chinese fellows. And yes, I really did not feel at ease there because people seem to be very narrow-minded. Now, I already played very good tennis in San Francisco as a girl. So when I went there, I took part in a tennis competition, intramural thing, and I beat out a sorority girl. And after that, she never looked at me anymore. And I felt awfully bad.
Well, was this feeling that you felt, was it openly expressed, or did you just feel it?
Well, I can tell. They just walked by me without saying hello. But before I beat them out, they always said hello or something, you know. So then the day came when I was called, we had assembly, then I was called to go down to the platform to receive that number one tennis cup, you know. And I don't know, I didn't think that they were really happy about, but, you know, being very happy or clapping. So I just went down there and took it, and that's it. So they didn't make me very happy.
Now, at the time you're working for the herbalists, what was the makeup of his patients were the Chinese.
Well, they're all Americans.
All Americans, I see.
And he's a Chinese man directly from China, therefore he couldn't handle
the
American
customer. So your job
was
to translate that. Okay. Now that which brings up a question of medicine. Now, when you were a girl in this country, now I'm not talking about China, and your family had problems medically, what was the first thing that you did? Did you turn to Western medicine, or was it Chinese medicine?
Well, at that time we turned to Chinese herbs. Even now, I many times turn to Chinese herbs.
I see. So that's the first preference, is to go that
yes.
route.
Because I seem to know more about herbs than a lot of people, the younger generation, you may say, because I know a little bit more about it.
How about even now?
Even now I did. I'm taking some Chinese herb for my rheumatism.
I see. Okay. That's good. Now, so far as... After you came back from China with your family, now that is your husband and your children, where did you go? Back to San Francisco or down to Los Angeles?
It was back to San Francisco first because we were helping at the fair.
I see.
You know, the Golden Bridge at the fair. So we were there for 1 year when the fair closed. Then we moved down here because my husband used to live in Los Angeles when he was younger.
I see.
So he knew somebody here.
I see. Okay. Now, when you were in Los Angeles at this particular time, were you living again in the Chinatown area or away from Chinatown?
No, I would call that away from Chinatown. It was on Adams and Maple. Or San Pedro.
Okay, now that seemed to be a little Chinese community at that time, too.
Not that much.
Not that much.
30-some years ago, not that much.
Okay. Yeah. Now, so far as your religion at the time that your father and mother, what religion did they practice?
When I was a girl?
Yes.
Well, you know, many Chinese, they do not go to church, they do not worship anything, but everyone worships their ancestors. Now that seemed to be the religion. My mother worships ancestors so many times a month or things like that. But my husband, I think he was converted to Christianity, but we did not go to church very much.
Okay, and then what about you? When you started to go to school or thereafter, did you become interested in the church?
Not that much.
I see. So.
I don't know why. Even now, I believe that there is someone above me, yes. Someone is looking after me. But at the same time, I feel that I'm so strong myself that I could take care of myself.
All right. Now, looking back at the time that you were a girl, how would you think you assess yourself? Would you say that you were out of the ordinary, or would you say or most women, Chinese women at that time, your education were about the same? Would you say you were a little different from them, or would you say that they were, quiet or outspoken? How would you classify yourself?
Well, of course, at that time, there were several of us graduated from girls' high school in San Francisco, Chinese. But I think only I was the only one who went to college. Six of them did not. Yeah. So even though my father was educated in English and Chinese, still the family is quite Chinesey. See? I mean, we respect him as a father when he comes home. We serve tea. We bring his slippers and all that. But he writes better English than I do now.
I see. So you practice these customs that even today. Now that you have your family, do you still practice these customs?
Yes and no. For instance, whenever I'm close by, I always give my husband his cup of tea first, you know, and help him or serve him first. I'm not thinking of, I'm a woman and I'm in America and I should be waited on. Because I enjoy doing that. And when he's close to me, he will give me the thing first, you know. In other words, we practice mutual respect that way.
Okay. Now, I can't still help feel that that you are a little bit, how should I say, you're, because of the education of your, that you had as a child, your father being well educated, and because you had an education, that somehow, to me, you don't appear to be as the same as the other women of your time. Maybe it's because, now you said to me that in high school, you were the only one who went to college, the other ones did. No.
The one that graduated right. The same
even,
time.
Even there are other women, there are Chinese girls going to school at the time. Down there. Mm-hmm. What were the reasons you think that they didn't go on? Because of economics, or is it because their families didn't care that much for them to have education? Or
I think the family is the main reason, because I think my family was the only one that with a father who was so highly educated, and all I knew was father went through college here, and I should go to college. Just like, you know, you get up in the morning, you eat breakfast. It just comes natural.
Now, I understand that at the present, at least when the time you came back from Los Angeles, that you certainly did not practice home economics.
No.
So
we were very poor then.
So, you were. Became a school teacher?
We were very poor when we first came down, because it was difficult for my husband to find a job. Even though he was a graduate in mining engineering and had a couple of years experience in American mine in Arizona, and he also had experience in China, you know, working for a couple of years. But at that time, the Americans were very narrow-minded. He answered an ad in the newspaper, you know, asking for all those qualifications. When he went down, the man looked at him and says, no, we want a white man. Mm-hmm. So he was very, very discouraged.
Mm-hmm. And so far as, as I gathered from some earlier conversations with you, that you became a school teacher.
Well, later, after the youngest child was about 6 years old.
I see. Then did you go back to school to get your degree?
No, I already had my degree, but at that time, you see, Orientals didn't have the opportunity to teach school. They just won't allow you. They don't have opportunity to work for the city or the state or the county. So no Oriental, even though they study or major in education, will bother to get a teaching credential.
They just graduate
and then go home. They won't hire them.
I see.
So then when I came back, and when the younger child was about 6 years old or 5 and a half, I wanted to see what kind of work I can do, you see. So I didn't know what to do. So but I wanted to get out first. So I went to Polytechnic, a night school, to pick up ceramics, just to be fooling around.
That's Polytechnic High School.
Uh-huh. Okay. Now it's Trade Tech,
I see.
So then after a couple of months, I had a lot of fun making ceramics. And I said, look, if I want to get a job, I can just fooling around. So I went to take a typing class, because I used to type real fast in high school. So around that time, I still was very puzzled and upset. About that time, I went down to see the counselor for the adult school. I said, no, you know, I'm this and that, this and that, this and that. So when I told him I was a homemaking graduate, right away he says, oh yes, you could work in the kitchen, you could become a salad girl, you could learn how to wait on tables. And I tried to stop him, you know, many, many times. And he just could not be stopped, you know, until finally I just budge in. I said, no, I have already graduated from college with a home economics degree. Then I realized he was red in the face, you know. So then he says, you could go into, you know, teaching. So I remember I said this to him. I said, you know, I don't think I can pass the test now, because I have left college, let's say, by that time 10 years or 12 years, you know. But he said something that woke me up, see. He said, you know, I have a doctor's degree right now. If I had to go take that test for teaching, I don't think I could pass it. But why don't you, if you don't pass it, you take it again and try again. So that one word, okay, is enough for me. So I thanked him and left. But ever since then, I wish I knew who he was.
So you did, this is what year?
Then,
roughly.
52, maybe.
I see. And you took the test?
Then I went around to ask where I could get my teaching credential.
Yes.
Then I went to Pepperdine College to get my credential.
Then
prepare to take the test.
Okay. Now, even at the time when you became a school teacher, were there very many Orientals in the school system?
To me, at that time, it was very difficult to get in.
Still to get in.
Because that was 27 years ago.
I see.
Okay? I went and took my test. I passed the written. But the oral, I did not pass. And then, so at that time, you could go down and, you know, find out why you did not pass. You know? Then it was a Mr. Brown who was some kind of associate superintendent to pull out the files there. You pass the written test, but you don't have any practical experience, lack of experience and training. So I said, Mr. Brown, if you don't let me teach, how am I going to pick up teaching experiences? As a training, I have just as much college training as other students. How come other girls, you know, were the same class with me, got a job and I didn't? And I was kind of loud, you know. And after that, I was kind of afraid that I had talked that loud, you know. Then he said, well, if you try again, I'm sure you can make it, okay? Then I guess luck was with me. I was called to go to Polytechnic to substitute for a teacher who got sick. So it so happened that teacher got a stroke. So she did not come back, March. So I took over until the end of June. She still wasn't well enough to come back. So they asked me to go back for the fall semester, which I did. So at that time, they were beginning to close down the school because of the freeway. See, they had to move a lot of houses away to make room for the freeway. Therefore, not enough students to go to college. So their policy was, those teachers who came in last were the first batch to go out. So I was the first 10 teachers to go out, and that was only fair. Then next year, another 10 go out, and finally, within 2 years, the school was closed. So that was that. The principal was a real nice white man, Dr. McGinnis. He said, now, Mrs. Sam, we have to close the school and this and that and this and that, and you did a very good job. He said, it was in January or December. He said, why don't you go down and see a Mr. Dixon at Carver Junior High and see if you like it. So I went down there, came back. At that time, they were all black kids. It's a well-known bad place. So I said, he didn't have a doctor's degree then. I said, Mr. McGinnis, I don't think I can take that. Because he was like this, he was like that. He looked at me and said, Mr. Sam, in the middle of the year, it's very difficult to find a job. And besides, I know you can do it. And he looked me in the eye, I know you can do it. So I took his word and went down to that school, you know, in the end of January, beginning of the semester. But it was tough. It was hard. To begin with, it was junior high, and I was inexperienced, you see, all black kids. So after about 2 months, I did very well. And the head counselor, Mr. Wolf, he said, Mrs. Sam, you are so wonderful. We want you to stay. I said, how come? He said, you did a good job. And besides, the last 2 years, we had 4 different teachers in your position. I said, why didn't you tell me when I first came? Then we both laughed. So I think through that, next time when I took the test, because the principal wanted me, the principal said I could do a good job there. I was needed there. And that's how I got the job. Permanently. So I stayed there for 5.5 years. So after 2 or 3 years, I got my probation, stay on until 5.5 years.
All right, let's move back a bit and discuss your attitude. Would you say that you are Chinese in your attitude 100%, or Americanized thinking 100%, or that is, how would you relate yourself? For example, now, you speak good Chinese, Cantonese, and you can read and write Chinese.
Yes.
Okay, now, with this type of background, how would you say that your attitudes are? Would you say it's primarily Chinese or primarily American? You've been over, you express yourself very well, you've taught in the school system.
I don't know what to say now. I think I'm half and half.
You wouldn't say you're Chinese then?
No. I'm not typical Chinese. And
that's
I'm not
I'm
typical
saying.
American. I would like to feel that I have the best of both cultures.
I see. That's what I was trying to find out. All right. Now, so far as your parents. Now, if you were to think about the one thing that your mother left an impression on, what would you say that would be?
My mother was a very intelligent young lady. She knew how to do a whole lot of things. Anything in the household. She knows how to manage. She knows how to take care of the maids and servants. And she knew how to take care of us. And I would say she's very calm in every way.
Do you remember what her or your grandparents, or on the mother's side,